It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I thought about switching it up, but the parade, I figured, would date things. So, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that's real. The others are all in your head. Think about that.
Yeah.
You need help. Well, some of you don't, because some of you, this is the only podcast you listen
that's
to.
That's right.
You're the awesome ones. The others are lunatics, clearly, because they're hallucinating other podcasts. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 237.
Really? We already had 237? Oh, that was the mystery episode.
We weren't there.
No, the evil guys.
That's right. So that's why you're a little shocked.
Got a lot of compliments on that episode.
Yeah?
Yeah, apparently the evil ones did well that time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because usually they suck.
Yeah, they really do. but so do we, so.
Well, that's what they say about us, so.
Yes. How would you know? Ooh, oh, wait, you just listened to the episode.
But the reason they suck is because they're obviously not, don't even want to be there.
No.
So it kind of comes
across.
Whereas
we are super enthused. About this, like, live for Thursdays.
That's right.
We don't got a lot going on. for those of you just joining us, welcome to this second clean episode. Not that I'm not going to fucking swear. our house is clean. And it's still clean so far.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's how this show works. We have a hat. It's magical. Has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People who are awesome, and people, this is another call to arms. Do it soon. People write to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. See, I do fine as long as I'm not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I can just say it now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We, it's Euclidean servants. Right off the top of my head, by the way.
That's a good one.
Did not plan that one.
That's a good one. Real good one.
Euclidean servants draw out of the hat these little note cards at random. Read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that is the entire show.
It's magic.
The hat is magic.
I mean,
it doesn't talk. It's magic that instigates talking.
Yeah, and it's probably hard to appreciate without being here how you can look inside a hat and there are these little pieces of paper in there that show up all by themselves.
Although, you can see what it looks like on YouTube.
That's true.
It's poorly lit. Poorly sounded, but you can technically see it. So check that out.
And don't tell us that it's poorly sounded.
Because we know.
We knew that even as we were making it, but we thought, what the hey? Our fans will be okay with it, but no.
I should go out and look and see if we've got any YouTube comments, because I'm not sure if I'm gay. And the YouTube comments usually will tell a person if they're gay. And I also don't know who all has had sex with my mom. And again, YouTube commenters will usually clue me into that as well. So
I thought they turned out pretty good in spite of having those problems. But, you know, maybe if it were 10 years ago or however long YouTube's been around and we were putting it out, the people's standards would be lower. But now,
or if it was on shareyourworld.com.
Yeah, but now people expect all the videos that are out there to be really slick which, believe me, I want it to be slick too. I didn't want it to have poor lighting and poor sound. We didn't have any reason to think it would have
poor lighting and poor sound.
Because remember that one guy came from the paper and filmed.
Yeah, and his was awesome.
Yeah, he didn't have any special equipment, so I thought this will work. But we knew, even as we were looking at the computer, we knew it wasn't going to be as good.
He didn't have any equipment that looked special, apparently.
Well, that's true.
There must have been some magic in that old video camera.
But he didn't have any lights or anything.
For when he placed it on that tripod.
Anyway.
Do you remember him dancing around? That was weird.
No, we knew it wasn't going to come out that great. But we thought, but it's just, you know, it's just YouTube, whatever. Who's going to care? But apparently people care.
We probably should have told him when we were doing episode 200.
Yeah, maybe we should have.
Maybe we could have been in the paper again.
Well, we didn't go to the library and have a special episode.
Yeah.
That's how we knew the first time.
The headline could have been, seriously? Still? Sometimes I'm amazed. All right, so it's been, what, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
How was your 2 weeks?
That was good. 2 weeks. Just working mostly.
2 weeks.
For one of those weeks, brother-in-law was staying with us.
Yep.
He had before, which was nice. We went up to the lake this past weekend.
Well, and supposedly I just learned today, apparently, he went to gaming with you one time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention that I think since last time we got together, we did the gaming thing.
Action psychiatrist.
Yeah. And he came with us, and he seemed to enjoy it all right. So, yeah, that was all really cool. Just working on some projects. I probably talked about this before. There's this one really big project I'm working on. It's the first time I've ever worked on something that I don't really have any idea what it's going to be. You know, like when you're writing.
Is this just like an egg you found in the woods you're going to hatch?
You work on a novel, you know you're going to publish the novel. You work, you know, radio play we're working on. I know how that's all going to go, even though it's taking a long time, but I knew it would. This thing I'm working on, I'm developing it like it's going to be a TV show, but it could be a comic. It could be. There's a lot of things it could be.
Religion.
And I have no idea what it's going to be because whatever it's going to be, it's going to take a lot of work, maybe funding. I mean, you know. This is one of those things where I might actually have to do like a Kickstarter or something to actually get it made into anything.
Poor coffee. So today, this doesn't come up a lot because, as you know, and as some of our listeners may know, I'm an idea guy. I come up with cool things to do. I don't do them. And nobody knows this better than you.
I guess.
And you... You still occasionally screw up and have hope. But I feel like
that's
general...
That's not screwing up.
Well, I don't... Just because then you get to get disappointed later. But I'm just saying, like, in general, you know.
There are worse things
than
disappointment.
You know what would be awesome? You're like, yeah, but you know that nothing's going to happen. And my wife generally knows this. I forget that other people don't necessarily. And poor coffee, one of our listeners, is a good friend of mine. And we work together. And... Remember I've talked before about Dwarf Sailor Pluto, or Temp Sailor Pluto, my cosplay idea? From Sailor Moon, there's a bunch of sailors. There's a Sailor Pluto, and my theory was that basically make an outfit and wig and everything just like her, but I would wear it and have like a name badge, and the idea would be that I'm temping because Sailor Pluto quit when Pluto got made a dwarf planet, and I'm temping until they get a replacement.
Mm.
And that's the only cosplay I've ever come up with that, like, I really think I could pull off. And today I realized Coffee's a seamstress of some note. And I was like, you could make... And so I told her, I was like, this is very hypothetical. This is way in the future, if at all, probably never. And, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, do you think you could make me one? And she's like, yeah, totally. And I explained the whole thing. And she's looking up stuff. And she's like, oh, my God. And the staff, I have this woodworker friend. And I was like, oh, no. Hold back. This is almost certainly never going to happen. Don't get excited. I'm like, I'm sorry. I forget that some people don't know that about me. Like, it's a cool idea, but statistically speaking, never going to happen. So this is wildly inappropriate, but you set the precedent, so I'm just going with it. Have you seen the doctor since last time? Have you made any headway on the
mental health professionals? No, let's see. I do have my general practitioner called me about the whole sleep study thing.
Oh, yeah.
And said, yeah, the people at the sleep study noticed that you really didn't take to the whole CPAP thing very well. So he...
We're going to put you in an iron lung.
No, my general practitioner suggested I see a ENT, so...
Oh, okay.
I'll be doing that
in
tomorrow.
In case there's some adenoidy junk going on.
I don't... They said that there are other ways to deal with that problem, like other things you can wear...
Oh, okay.
...at night or whatever. So... I guess they're going to see if that's something that would work better for me. I don't know.
Also limited. I mean, you could do like a breathe right strip or something. Try that. That's frequently something
I think it's that kind of thing that they're wondering about. If there's...
But they'll know. ENT guys are the ones who really know a lot of that stuff.
So...
Of the physical causes of such things.
But I don't actually see my general practitioner again until Monday, so...
Ah.
So I won't... You know, I don't know what he's going to say or what's going to happen after I see this other guy tomorrow or whatever. I mean, I just go where they tell me to go. And,
oh, yeah. That's largely how you have to do it, especially at the university.
You know, like, they take blood, let them do it, you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Just one of these days, someone's going to figure out, oh, hey, if you do this, you'll sleep better, and then I'll sleep better. And that's going to take care of like 90% of my problems, just being able to sleep. Clearly, because they've scanned every part of me and found that there's really nothing wrong with me except that I complain about not being able to sleep. So that's
be
it.
Be a whole new dude.
Yeah. Well,
that'd be weird.
I remember what it was like to get adequate sleep, so I'll probably just be like I used to be.
I still haven't been having some trouble, but I attribute that to I haven't been to the gym in ages. Well, that does a lie. I haven't been to the gym consistently in ages. I went once this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I need to get my shit together on that front. Anything else fun?
No, I brought up this project because I really enjoy working on it. It's just so weird to not know where it's going.
Well, think of it as a Bible, and I'm not making the religion, but you know, like a movie, a TV show, they frequently have a show Bible.
Yeah.
So you got that, and then you'd be like, oh, what do I want to do with this?
It's I love working on it. I've never had more fun working on a project, really. But then I think, but what am I doing with it? I mean, am I just wasting my time? I hope that's not true.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah, kind of.
I've been thinking of going into male modeling or high finance.
I think the male eye gets pretty ugly, really.
We're going to pause for some histocuffs here.
What about your 2 weeks?
Hold on, we got to watch this.
You can watch and talk at the same time, can't you?
You'd think. Are you and your wife going to Dave Avid's thing?
In October?
Yeah.
I think we're planning on it. I think we've planned to do it, yeah.
Holy crap, Ezzy won a fight.
Did she win?
Well, he ran away.
But it wasn't really a fight.
No, it was a little histocuffs thing. Sorry, histocuffs is a word we got off the internet that we like for this kind of stuff. Now he ran in the bathroom and is yelling. That's weird. Yeah, I feel like she won that, and that never happens. I'm definitely planning on going to David's thing.
Oh, okay, good.
And I think Trish might.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Trish isn't sure, but, you know, Trish has gotten into Fiasco.
Oh, really?
And that's the kind of stuff this is. And, yeah, we played it exactly once. We played it when we were in Virginia, but she really liked it. And so... Yeah, I'm thinking about it. And
I think that's still one of the best episodes of Tabletop where they play that.
Yeah. And that one I've actually seen.
I've never played Fiasco. I just saw...
It's kind of cool. The only thing about it is just that the game, the story is always a downer.
Yeah.
That's the only
a Coen Brothers issue. Film.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, second season of Fargo is coming here soon.
I didn't watch the first season.
I did.
Was it good?
Yeah. They're unrelated. It's kind of like horse... Well, I mean, they're related in that they all take place in that same town, but I'm pretty sure... Well, I guessed this at the time. So the stuff was happening in the first season of Fargo, and some of it had ties to the movie and similar characters and stuff like that. But in the midst of it, they make reference to this terrible killing spree or something that happened in the 70s in the town. because one of the guys is an old retired cop and he talks about it. And I'm like, that's going to be season two. And I don't know that for sure, but it looks like it's set in the 70s.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I think that's it. Well, yeah, because you get big enough names, you can't hold them.
No, yeah, right.
So, you know, Martin Freeman's not coming back. Billy Bob Thornton's not coming back. But they have, I forget who it is, they have some name that I'm really impressed with. I don't remember who it was now.
I think when you watched it, you talked about it, but I'd forgotten all about it.
Yeah. I was very into it. Trish less so, but I think we'll both start off at least watching this one. We should talk about that. New shows and stuff. Did you watch any new shows yet?
I watched Gotham.
I hear people getting excited about this season of Gotham.
They are?
Yeah, they think it looks interesting. Well, and they think it's the smart move because we're getting villain focused. And they're like, that's the interesting thing about that show. I mean, I'm still not watching it, but. Did you watch Muppets?
No.
We watched the pilot of Muppets.
I didn't know there was a pilot.
Yep.
I hadn't heard a thing about it.
Well, and here's the thing. I got awkward about it originally. I was very much expecting it to suck, and then I figured out why I thought this. No, the show is Muppets, and the premise is it's nowadays, and Mr. Piggy has a late-night talk show. And Kermit is the executive producer, and then, you know, everybody, like, works there. And they're Muppets. But here's the critical...
And they're Muppets.
Here's the critical thing to it.
Okay.
They were seeding this out there for a long time, leading up to it. A while back, Miss Piggy and Kermit broke up.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
And then there were rumors Miss Piggy was seen with Josh Groban and stuff like that. And then... And here's the important part here. Then, Kermit was seen with someone new and is now in a relationship with this someone. Her name is Denise. She is also a pig.
Mm-hmm.
She's also a Muppet, FYI. I would watch the shit out of the show where Kermit was actually dating a real live pig. Holy shit. But, and here's, she's a younger and much younger and thinner pig. And when that came out, like, I thought it was stupid up to that point. I'm like, Miss Piggy, Kermit, whatever. Yeah. And then that, and I'm like, okay, now I'm genuinely offended. Now the Muppets have actually offended me. But it wasn't until I sort of sat down and thought about it and realized it was literally that one thing that did it. And unless him dating a younger, thinner pig Muppet is literally the premise of the show, which I didn't think it was, that doesn't mean I should skip the show.
Okay.
So we watched the pilot, and now we think we should skip the show.
Really bad.
We're not yet willing to. We're going to give it at least one more episode, but right now we're both like, this sucks. And it's not, people keep wanting to talk about, oh, it's an adult version of the Muppets. No. Because it's not, and also the Muppets was always kind of adult, and it's like it was like Rocky and Bullwinkle. It could be on multiple levels.
Warner Brothers cartoon.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Muppets always had that vibe.
Yes, they did.
And there's some great moments in this. There are some really good jokes in it. A couple. By and large, it's let's make the Muppets modern, and in some cases sort of middle-aged and stuff like this. And have them have lives just like real people. In other words, make them sad. I mean, we're dealing with Kermit and Piggy relationship drama, except it's not the she wants more rhinestones on her dress and we can't afford it, so she karate chops me of the old show. It's genuinely, why would you do that? Because you know that reminds us of our terrible breakup. Oh my God, I forgot about that. I'm so sorry. Like, real shit! I'm like, I don't want to see the Muppets having the same tragedies I have. You know? It's like, why would you do that?
Yeah, that seems like a bad move.
And literally issues of Kermit dealing with his middle-age-ness and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, it's awful. But we'll see. It had a few really good sort of lines and stuff. But, I do not think so. We finished Killjoys.
Okay.
Which... I'm now officially recommending to people.
Hmm.
I don't know when it happened exactly or how it happened, but that show, which if you recall I said was really sort of generic and hollow, was good by the end. Like, really actually good, and I'm very excited there's going to be another season.
Hmm.
Not entirely sure how that happened.
Hmm.
We also finished up Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. Whatever. we finished up Another Period. I'm fine to have watched it. I hope it doesn't get another season. It's a good standalone, you know, like 8-episode thing. It was funny, but I'm done. And I had a lot of people in it I liked in it, but yeah, it was enough. There's other new stuff we have not watched that's sitting on the DVR. I think that's mostly it.
I liked Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Liked a lot.
I did not.
I know.
To the degree that in there's 7 episodes, and we had watched 5, and then we had a big sort of gap before we watched 6, so we watched 6 last weekend. In the middle of 6, I was like, I don't care. I can be done. Let's just not even watch 7. By the end of 6, my curiosity was piqued enough to then watch 7. I was like, oh, I don't know. Now they've done some things here. I at least want to see how it ends. And I did. And what's interesting to me is, because I went online and read everything and all that, it appears to follow the plot of the book really well.
Hmm.
Most of the poor critiques of it, it was very well received also. The miniseries was very well received. The people who are critical of it professionally, by and large, are kind of apologetic about it and say it's as good as they could do on TV, you know. Like, you can't get the subtleties of the book. And that's what I wonder about, because I think the thing I didn't like about the miniseries is I'm like, I don't buy so many of these relationships. But I'll bet in a giant-ass book, they spend more time on it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that's what a lot of the critics are saying. Like, a lot people's motivations and actions and relationships sort of seem irrational in the miniseries in ways that in the book make sense because you spend more time with it.
I can see that. That was something that I noticed too. I don't know why it didn't particularly bother me, but it seemed like large pieces of time were being skipped over.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, so you fill in the gaps or whatever, but you had to do a lot of work as the viewer to do that rather than having things build over time.
Well, and it creates that whole issue I had. I didn't really care about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. And that's right.
It's death for me.
Nope. I hear what you're saying.
It was weird though, because, you know, I go down a little wiki rabbit hole looking at this stuff. So the gentleman who played the fairy with the thistledown hair, the stranger, I believe, he never really gets a name, but the fairy, the only fairy in the damn thing. I think I joked before that, like, that guy is this generation Malcolm McDowell because he straight up just looks and sounds and acts like Malcolm McDowell and is killing it. Well, I look him up. He's been in a ton of stuff I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember him, though. Stuff I remember seeing, he was that unnoticeable. In a lot of things, he played small parts, but, like, he was the main character in an episode of Doctor Who that I know for a fact I've seen. I remember the episode. Don't even remember what he looks like. But I was like, yeah, he's been around.
I think that's where I recognized him from a Doctor Who episode, although I can't remember which one.
There's one that's one of those rare ones that doesn't really spend much time with Doctor Who, and it's basically a support group for people who have encountered him but don't know any, like, they've encountered him obliquely. And so it's conspiracy theory nuts, basically. And it centers on this one guy who has that experience and tries to figure it out. And the one guy is played by this guy. So I'm like, I want to see what he looks like now, because he fucking looks like Malcolm McDowell in the miniseries. And did an amazing job. Don't get me wrong. He was fantastic. Everybody performed really well. The acting was really good in the miniseries.
Speaking of Doctor Who, it came back this past weekend.
Yes, haven't watched it yet, but it's sitting on the DVR.
We watched it.
I've heard not super good things.
I don't know. It was fine. Yeah. This guy playing Doctor Who right now.
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
Who was once in a punk band with Craig Ferguson.
Oh.
In the 70s. not making that up. Super real thing.
So, anyway, I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan. I've probably only watched the recent series. I mean, I've seen every show of the recent series up. The last Christmas episode I still haven't seen. Mm. But mostly because my spouse likes it, the kids used to like it, whatever.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't watch it otherwise. Dead. No.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm familiar with the old Doctor Who show. I mean, I watched it a few times when I was a kid. I know who some of those doctors are. I've seen a few of those shows. Yeah. Of the doctors I know of, and I do, like, the third and fourth doctor and the fifth doctor, I think I know who all those guys are.
Yeah.
The first doctor, too, for that matter. Not so much the second, but whatever. This is probably my favorite doctor.
He's making a run for it with me.
That doesn't mean very much coming from a guy who doesn't really care, but, you know, I am familiar with most of the doctors, even the most popular ones, all of the recent ones, and I have to say, I like this doctor better than any of the rest of them.
I swore by the fourth doctor for a long time, which many, many premillennial Americans did, because he did it for a long time during the time when most public stations were showing it in America. So for a lot of Americans, that was our first doctor and our favorite doctor.
My first doctor was the third one.
Yeah.
And somehow that's the image of the doctor I have in my head.
Because we straight up watched the fourth doctor, not knowing what the show was and not knowing he would die. And so we got shocked as hell and hated the fifth doctor. Eventually, I grew to love the fifth doctor, but at the time, hated him. But so fourth doctor for years and years and years. And then David Tennant with the 10th Doctor. I never officially said he was my favorite, but I said that he and Tom Baker have to fist fight for my favorite. Capaldi is giving them a run for their money.
I think so.
There is no question that while I like them just fine, Eccleston and Smith are not my favorites at all. They both did good. I commend them. I enjoyed watching them. They're not in the running. But this guy... Well, but some of it is such timing... We really needed this doctor right now. After the way the 9th and the 10th and especially the 11th went, we really needed to go back to this he's old and he's alien vibe.
Yeah.
He's no longer on the cover of GQ. He's an old, grumpy, psycho alien. And that's fun.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It's made Clara into a real character.
Well,
as soon as we got rid of that romantic string, suddenly the companion that I freaking hated Clara. Now I'm really pretty into. Although supposedly she'll be gone by the end of the series.
I agree. That was quite an improvement for her. Yeah, I agree with
just
that
sort
too.
Sort of magically.
I don't really know about companions or whatever. I can't say that I'm that impressed with... I don't know if it's her acting or if it's how she's written. I don't know. But I'll agree that...
comparatively.
Yeah, a lot better than before. But, you know, whatever. I'll keep watching if I can. I mean, you can see the premiere for free right now, but I don't think I'll be able to watch the rest of the season.
Not for a while, yeah.
Until it's...
eventually it'll hit Netflix or hit Sci-Fi, and then you can probably find a way to get it.
I didn't think the episode was that bad. I guess I don't know anything, though.
Well... And it came from biased sources, so I don't know. Not too much else new. We recorded Life in Pieces, which looks like it's just trying to be Modern Family, but it has a hell of a cast, so I just want to see that. I mean, it's Diane Wiest and James Brolin and Colin Hanks and Bendy Brandt and Betsy Brandt. Tons of people I really like. Bendy Brandt is probably a porn name. I don't know of the porn star, but I just feel like it's probably one. I'm gonna watch The Grindr. That's coming out.
I don't know what that
is. Coming out Tuesday. It's a sitcom. I thought it was going to be an hour long sort of dramedy, but apparently it's a sitcom. Fred Savage plays a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Lowe plays Fred Savage's brother, who was for many years an actor on a very successful lawyer show called The Grindr, where he was the main hotshot lawyer. He is no longer in that role, but he decides that he and his brother should lawyer together, essentially. and hijinks ensue. And it looks hilarious. And I really like Fred Savage. For many years now, he's mostly worked behind the camera, but he's also very good at that. And Rob Lowe has finally done an Alec Baldwin. He's figured out that he's good at comedy. And I love watching him try and be like in something where he's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Although that being said, there was one other thing. I watched the pilot of Moonbeam City.
Never heard of Comedy Central. Never heard of that either.
It is a computer animated adult sort of cartoon show. Like it's I think it's an adult, it's part of Adult Swim. And it is a sort of sci-fi cop show. But here's the thing. Here's why I had to see it. It is sci-fi through a 1980s lens. To the degree that, and this is the hallmark of it, every single character stepped out of a Patrick Nagel painting. They all have the white skin, the blood red lips, the super dark hair. And as somebody who lived in the 80s, worshipped Patrick Nagel prints, thought they were the sexiest things ever, and now realize how insane that was, I was just like, oh yeah, I have to see this. And it was funny. It is one joke. And that joke is, the 80s were pretty stupid in retrospect, weren't they? And so that works for a half hour. It's not going to work for a whole show. Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to watch that anymore. I'm not recording it. So, I had a really string of shitty luck with horror movies on Netflix recently. Which amazes me, because I'm not hard to please with a Netflix horror movie. When I'm watching it, it's like 2 in the morning on Saturday. And I can appreciate horror movies for a variety of reasons. Ideally, you have really intriguing or unusual mythology or story.
Sure.
That's the ones I love.
Yeah, right.
You jump on that, you know, Cabin in the Woods shit. Like, oh, it's a whole new thing. Or it's a really intricate mystery and I want to figure it out. If you don't have that, which frequently they don't, that's okay. If you've got really cool look. If the look of it is really creepy or gothic or cool, or the effects are really cool, even if it's gore effects, like if you do gore effects in a way that I'm like, oh man, that's amazing, I will be into that. Or freaky monsters, you know, cruel creature effects, something like that. Totally into that.
Okay.
Barring that, if you hit territory, one thing I love about horror movies in general is they are by definition transgressive. I think I've talked about this before. So besides horror, they will often hit on other issues that other things won't. And the common ones, because it's horror, is shit like incest or, you know, back in the day, transsexualism was a big one and stuff like that. But just in general, there's no taboo topics in horror movies. And sometimes that can be really cool because you deal with concepts that I'm like, wow, no movie's even touched this before. and I can appreciate it on that.
Sure, sure.
And if none of that is true, none of that, which can happen.
Most likely will happen.
If you've got enough nudity, I'm fine. I'm me. So if you're showing enough nudity, I will totally enjoy myself. I won't say, oh, this is a good horror movie, but I'll be like, yeah, I like watching that. Yeah, that was awesome. All those boobs. It was wonderful. I managed to see, since I've last spoken to you, 3 films on Netflix, and they failed on all of those counts.
Well,
it's amazing to me.
Is that really amazing? Because it seems like most of the stuff you talked about, I've seen a lot of horror movies because my wife likes them.
Yeah.
And hardly any of the ones I've ever seen fulfill.
Well, here's the thing.
Any one of the things that you mentioned. Some of them do. That's true. Yeah. And that's why I like them sometimes too when she's watching them. But most of the time they don't even.
Well, here's the thing. The first 3, the ones that aren't boobs.
And I actually don't like the ones with a lot of nudity in them anyway. So we don't watch those.
The first 3, basically, if you're going to make a movie, a horror movie, you can just pick one. And if that's what you work at, then that'll be good and the rest can suffer or whatever. If you're too dumb to do that, or you don't have the skill to even fulfill one dimension, you know, everybody knows. Just put enough naked people in it, and people will still watch it. And so if somehow you don't have the wherewithal to manage, what I refer to as one dimension. And on top of that, couldn't be bothered to stick nudity in it. What the fuck were you doing? You couldn't be bothered with an interesting story. Okay, so you focused on other things? Yeah. Well, you couldn't be bothered with the effects, so that wasn't it. So you didn't have original territory that you were covering that hasn't been covered tons before. All right, so what? Is just a bunch of fake blood and cheesy music and boobs? Well, no, we didn't do any boobs. Then seriously, why did you make this movie?
No, we didn't do any boobs.
It's the last vestige, and it's the easiest one to do. Anybody can do that, with the exception of a bunch of males trapped in a room, I guess, making a movie. Then they literally couldn't find anybody, but I could make a movie and I could find people who would show their bodies on camera. It would be a terrible movie, but I mean, I could do it. It wouldn't be worth it. That's why I'm not making the movie. But, and also I don't do things, but I'm like, seriously, that, no, that's just your last out. I'm like, if you can't do any of these three, which require some talent or some thought or something, everybody can do the last one. If you can't do that, and that's the thing, and it happens. I see movies that don't fall for any of these. I definitely do. The fact that I picked and worked at it, like paid attention and tried to come up with stuff that I thought would fulfill,
and then three
some
of
this, and three of them.
Okay, I see.
Bombed
I see your point. I see
in
your
a
point.
Row. I'm like, I'm doing something wrong here. Sad. I'm still playing Kingdoms of Amalur. I don't know what I'm reading. I'm reading a book. Nothing that's mind blowing into my mind. Oh, gaming.
Oh,
is happening. I do have an interesting story to tell about gaming. It's not about what's happening in the game. They did kill the big bad of the thing they were doing, so that was good. No, it was about what happened outside of the game, which is that I turned into the biggest flaming asshole ever. I essentially was a living embodiment of the, like, you could legitimately go to, like, certain forums where they have, like, tell us a story of your terrible GM and put this up here and it would fit in perfectly. I was just an absolute asshole. I basically yelled at and chewed out one of my players for, like, 2 or 3 minutes straight in front of everybody. Just yelling.
Why?
I'm still working that out.
Oh, okay.
I mean, at the base of it is because they did something that frustrated me. It was because, in my opinion, here's the thing. Here's the argument I was positing in all of my ranting and yelling and swearing. The argument I was positing was that this particular player, universally, in all the games I have run for this player, every time there is, like, a combat or action situation, they can't ever pick a normal, simple, straightforward thing. You know, it's a fantasy game. I understand you get creative, but sometimes, a lot of the time, you're just going to say, I hit the bad guy with my sword. Mm. But this person always, oh, I'm going to sneak around. And inevitably, shit for which I have no rules. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do this. Mm. All the time, thinking they're being super clever and stuff. And I'm just like, every once in a while, stop. Oh, the marching band has happened because the parade has started. We got a parade outside. We didn't talk about that. We had to start recording early tonight so that William didn't get caught on the other side of the parade. Anyway, so this was my premise. I'm not sure my premise was accurate. Now that I calm time, at least to the degree that I assume. I don't believe the ubiquitousness of it. But I haven't spent too much time on that because here's why. Doesn't matter. Even if I was 100% right, no excuse for how I acted. It was bad enough that in mid-rant, I started apologizing for the rant as it was still going. I knew how bad it was. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on who you are, my gaming group are the nicest fucking people. And so before I was done yelling at her, she'd already forgiven me. Mm. Like, they're like, oh, no big deal. And I'm like, it is. And this is the thing. I told them, I'm like, regardless of you guys, I'm not okay with this. And it's something I've slowly sort of realized. I love my gaming group. I love all of my gaming group. For some reason, I do not like myself when I am around them. And I don't think it's something they're doing, or at least not consciously. It's not, I start to emulate their behavior. It's not like, you know, you hang around with assholes and you become, no. This is not me emulating what they're doing. I'm doing wholly my own thing. I'm just an asshole. And so I'm trying to figure out what this is. And I'm still sort of working on it. I'm a little behind on sleep because it bothered me enough that the first night I didn't like sleep at all. And I'm sort of catching up.
That's too bad.
But I'm considering some ways of sort of being more mindful about the whole thing in the moment. And so I may handle things a little differently. But we'll see. I definitely don't want to give up the group or anything like that. But yeah, I cannot allow myself to be like that. And I mean, this is a giant version of a small problem I have in general. Me occasionally, you know, getting really angry and frustrated with my players happens a fair bit. And sometimes it's warranted and sometimes it's not. But it's also very not my kind of thing and not how I want to be.
Right.
So, we'll see on that. But yeah, I was an absolute jerk. Really bad. And so I'm going to try and work on that. But otherwise, the game is going well.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's about all I got to talk about. Not too much else has happened. We're finally getting back to normal around here. Producer isn't traveling anymore. I'm not traveling anymore. We'll actually be home for a while. That'll be nice.
We started our fifth playthrough of Dragon Age Inquisition. Our fifth one.
Fifth?
Yeah. Okay. Four playthroughs to platinum. Because that's just what...
There's certain forks and yeah, four.
Yep. Four playthroughs to platinum. But the fifth one was, we discovered, for whatever reason, we couldn't get any of the choices we made in the first two games to be relevant in the game we were playing.
Interesting.
After four playthroughs in platinum, getting a platinum trophy on the game, we found a way to do it.
Oh, wow.
And this was available the whole time, but we just didn't know. Yeah. There, BioWare set up a website where you can go in and you can just go through all the choices of the first two games. Either put the ones in that you made or put the ones in you prefer, and they will load that.
Nice.
That's really nice. It takes a long time, but we were playing this fifth playthrough, and now everything's different, and everything reflects the first two times we played the game, and it's, like, really fun.
Wow.
I mean, it's not, like, a totally different game or anything, but you've got dialogue options.
To a degree, though. I mean, not quite Mass Effect level, but probably pretty close.
You've got dialogue options you didn't have before.
There's bound to be some people who are alive or dead who weren't.
Yes,
before.
Right. So it's
some of those they retconned and it was kind of annoying. But
yeah, exactly.
They had a couple. They had somebody who like could die in the first game and then later they're like, no, even if you thought that happened, that's not really what happened.
Yeah, in the DLCs, alive. Yeah.
And there was somebody else who was alive in certain things, but they're like, no, they're definitely dead.
But I mean, there are things playing through it four times. There are things that we know in the future are going to be different. Because of what we changed or what we had picked in the previous thing. So,
but what amazes me, on your repeated ones, are you more streamlining it? Because from what I've heard, it's a huge-ass game.
Well, we did. On every playthrough after the first one, we skipped some things that we weren't interested in or whatever. And then to finish the Nightmare Mode one, we skipped all kinds of stuff because it was just hard.
Yeah.
But now, there's also these additions that they've made to the game where if you've played it through once, there's a object in the game you can use to get some of the special items that you got in previous games. So now, the fifth playthrough, we're playing with the favorite combination that she had, which was she liked playing the rogue. Really, she likes playing warrior characters. Okay. So when she plays the rogue, it's just a quicker warrior, basically.
Yeah, it's a DPS instead of...
Yeah, and she picks all... I mean, she doesn't pick like a bow and arrow or anything like that.
Yeah.
She picks all of the warrior, more the warrior sense of the rogue. She just likes how the rogue moves faster. Otherwise, she'd have picked a warrior because she really liked playing a warrior too. A human rogue, and she's got all of these really great weapons and armor, so and she's playing on casual, so the first several hours were pretty easy. Yeah, but that's okay, yeah, because she just got done playing nightmare mode and she really wanted something
it's
easy.
A nice creative place.
But yeah, but you get right to talking to people, you get these other dialogue options you didn't have before. And they're talking about characters that they didn't talk before who are alive that were dead, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, this is just really cool. And so, I mean, like I said, even though a lot of the stuff is the same, we're enjoying it like the first time we played it through. And she's playing it through pretty thoroughly because you don't know what things changed or who you're going to meet.
That's true, because this is a drastic shift this
right.
time. Yeah.
So she's basically playing it the same way she played it the first time, which is going everywhere, reading everything, every nook and cranny, which she enjoys doing anyway. And for three of the four playthroughs, we didn't do all that.
Yeah.
So we're both having a good time, almost as much fun of the game as the first time we played it.
That's amazing. The only game anywhere near that for me is Fable, the original Fable. And that is, I beat five times, and I played it 5.5, I think. But but that's three different editions, technically.
Mm.
The original Fable, and then Fable the Lost Chapters, and then Fable Anniversary.
Yeah, we don't.
And so even then, there, but and that's the closest I've ever come.
Oh yeah,
else have I played more than twice.
We don't even have any DLCs or anything. We just the same game. This is the fifth time through, and we're really enjoying it.
Before the year is out, I suspect we will join the ranks of the PlayStation 4s, because my plan is to finish Amalur and then play Assassin's Creed Rogue, because you can only play it on the previous gen. And then get a PS4. And then all hell's going to break loose. Because I have saved Shadow of Mordor for next gen.
Mm.
I have saved Dragon Age Inquisition for next gen.
Mm-hmm.
I had to save Assassin's Creed Unity, because you can only play it there. And all of those are going to take fucking ever. By the time that is done, I don't even know what I'll do next.
We've got Batman.
And they'll have a bunch of new stuff then.
Arkham Knight. We've got that. But the driving is such a pain in the butt.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's too bad.
She doesn't even want to play it. And frankly, it's hard to watch, too.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. She likes other parts of the game, obviously, like that are like Arkham City, but the driving is really... And to be fair... we've played other games with driving in it, and she never likes it. It's just not something she liked, which is fine. That's true for a lot of people. But we were kind of hoping that the driving would be not so heavily integrated in the game. Maybe you could even skip it. Like, well, I'm going to take the long way to get to this place. I don't have to get in the stupid car. But no.
No, I think that's
driving is a huge, huge, huge part of the game.
I think I'd heard that.
You can't really get around it. So I don't know if she's ever going to play it again. Which is too bad, because there's a lot of aspects of it that seem pretty fun.
I still don't exactly know why I'm still playing Amalur, but I'm enjoying it. In fact, I sort of have had my second... Actually, I think I had a second, now I have a third wind where I'm really into it right now. I've got about 65 hours into it, and I would guess, just based on the structures within the game and everything, I'm probably about halfway through. But I think, especially because there's a level cap... And there's the ability to respec for money. I think once I hit the level cap, I'll just start switching out. I'm like, oh, now I'm going to play as a warrior and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I think really quickly I'm going to start to get sick of it, and I'm going to stop doing a lot of side quests and stuff. So it may speed up. So I may be further than halfway in terms of play time, but we'll see.
Gotcha.
We're almost out of time, so we should probably do something with that.
Okay.
Pull out some
things. Drawing from the hat.
Yes.
We're drawing from the hat. All right.
Womp, womp.
This question's for me, I guess.
Is it for you?
Yep.
Well, you drew it, so.
Anonymous.
What? Oh.
William, is there anything you like about big government?
Oh. This is very similar to Stephen Colbert the other night talking to Ted Cruz about stuff Reagan did.
No, there isn't. I guess I don't understand the question. Why would there be anything I like about big government?
I don't know. Things. There are. Okay. I think an argument could be made that there are certain services or functions of government that at least some people like that could not be achieved below a certain scale.
Could not. See, that's the part that I have trouble with. I realize there's a lot of crazy people out there that...
Well, I'm not saying this is my... But I'm saying I feel like an argument could be made.
No. I know what you're saying. And there are a lot of people out there who argue that... Who just, without even thinking about it or knowing what they're talking about, argue that government is always less efficient. You know, that you can achieve everything that big government achieves without big government. And there are a lot of people who say that who don't really know what they're talking about. My experience is that there are probably some things. I'm not prepared to say that everything that big government provides, if you had a world where there you didn't have big government, like an anarchist kind of situation like I'm talking about, that you could have all the stuff that you had with big government. I'm not prepared to say that. I don't.
Technically, you just did. If I edited it, right,
I have no way of knowing if something like that's true.
Yeah.
Here's what I suspect, and it's backed up a little bit by what I observe, is that it's not really an issue of, you know, there's this bunch of stuff that you want, and this form of government gives it to you, and this form of government gives it to you. It's not really like that. There are certain pros and cons, really, I guess you could say, to everything. And it's really about what you can live with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, the reason I'm an anarchist is because I don't see anything that big government gives us that couldn't be provided with something else. Whether it could do it more efficiently or not is almost beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if efficiency really matters to me that much. Or we could live without it altogether, or I'm personally willing to live without it to have all of these things that anarchy gives. And I understand how someone else might not feel that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I laid out every argument I had in favor of an anarchist way of living and of thinking, I'm sure there are a lot of things about it that people would say, yeah, I couldn't live with that. But I would admit, yes, that is a problem, or it's not a problem to me, but I can see how this particular aspect of anarchy is a problem for you and why you wouldn't like it. But that's our difference of opinion, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This person can probably think of a lot of things that big government gives that they really want. And so maybe they wonder if I would agree if they brought that thing up. I don't know what that thing is. I presume maybe that's what this person had in mind when they asked. But I probably would just say, that's not important to me. And I think if we lived in a world where that thing never existed, that nobody would probably miss it. Now, that's my opinion, and you probably disagree, and that's fine.
I miss a lot of things that never existed.
Well, and keep in mind that I don't just have a problem with big government, I have a problem with big business. I have a problem with big, period.
He's intimidated by size.
The thing is, a large-scale human organization is bound to be corrupt, and most people agree with that, but they think that you get something out of it. It's like a necessary evil. But I don't see that.
Well, I'm trying to come up with the things off the top of my head that might be examples. They're all things that become unneeded if you don't have it.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like, my first thought was, I was like, well, the road system. And I'm like, yeah, but if you're living in small, self-sustaining polities, you don't need a good road system.
Or where you need it, it will be there. Because someone who needs it will make sure it happens. I mean, there are a lot of things that actually gets in the way of a lot of sensible conversation about it. Is there are a lot of things that people talk about the government giving us that, that if we didn't have big government, we wouldn't have it. But big government sort of creates the problem that they're fixing. So, you know.
Well, it's also very difficult to say that anyway. It's not too distinct from saying everything good is... If you don't believe in God, you would never do anything good or nice. Right. It's like, no.
It doesn't really
just because you associate your thing with that thing does not mean that is the sole origin of that thing.
You hear a
lot. Even if you've got a God that, like, all good things came from that God, awesome. Doesn't mean they didn't necessarily channel it through some of us who don't believe in
it.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it gets complicated, but, I mean, again, what I've found in studying human behavior and studying history is that human beings don't need government. Now, that doesn't mean that government wouldn't be useful, like any other technology. You know, there's a lot of technologies we don't need, but that are nevertheless, we can do good things with them.
Bacon.
So, government isn't something we need. Even though a lot of politicians want to insist that we do, we don't need it. However, that doesn't mean that someone couldn't come up with some government system that makes things better for human beings. In my observation, nobody has done that.
I did it last week.
Maybe in your observation, whoever you are who are asking this question, someone has come up with that or will, or you think that that's important. But my observation is people don't need government. And so far, nobody's come up with one that I think is suitable to want. But that's just...
I don't think this person necessarily disagrees with you, even. I think this person... My guess is that it is one of those things that you tend to have a fairly... what's a good word for this? A fairly all-inclusive opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
And something that can't, well, as I said here, could be expressed fairly generally. And it's not because you're being glib or you haven't thought it through.
No.
But it's a pretty broad swath to say. And in that sort of situation, it's always tempting to be like, okay, so in that whole thing, is there any part that's not true? I mean, I think that's a totally viable question.
No, it is.
And understandable. And I think it would have been understandable if you had had something.
Yeah,
which is not to say it's a problem that you don't.
No, right.
But I don't think this is necessarily inherently argumentative.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I don't know if I was taking it that way. I just don't know. I don't know how to take it, I suppose. But I guess I tend to think, at least, and I've been told this by people, that people don't tend to see me, and I don't tend to see myself as someone who usually paints with broad strokes. That said, and being that that's true, if I'm calling myself an anarchist, I mean, it's because that is a broad stroke. I mean, that's basically saying there's no government system that I've ever heard of or know of that is adequate. And that either means I don't know anything about any government systems at all, or I've done quite a bit of research on these things and I've just not been impressed.
To carry the metaphor, I would say you paint large swaths in a single color, but you do it with an incredibly tiny brush and little dots. I don't hesitate for a moment to assume you definitely are not generalizing, are not glossing over things. I believe you have done your detailed information gathering, but you tend to have opinions that cover a wide base.
I suppose that's true.
Of stuff. Legitimately. I mean, it's you know... I don't consider you to blindly have your opinions. I consider you truly knowledgeable and devout of your opinions, but you do tend to have strong and large encompassing ones.
Well, I'll say this, though, too, in response to the question. We don't live in an anarchy. I mean,
I do.
To me, anarchy is always at work, and it's always what's actually getting things done. However, We do live in a system that's got a pretty extensive political structure, and sometimes it's a matter of life and death whether or not government does one thing or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, in those instances, I'm more satisfied with government doing something to save lives or whatever it is than not doing something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the, I mean, it's the one death's a tragedy, a million's a statistic kind of thing. Like, what, ideally, the kind of society you want to get from here to there would probably involve a lot of death.
Oh, that, well.
But in a given, just because you like that we could be in that society doesn't mean you want a lot of people to die.
No, that's exactly right. I don't. I mean, I,
and if someone's where we are living, some of those things that would cause a lot of people to die, and you would be like, I don't want that.
No, right. If someone told me, William, in 10 years time, the society that you want to live in could be what the United States is. But in that 10 years, there's going to be a lot of horror and people are going to die terribly. Yeah. I would say, well, I don't want that.
Yes. You ideally prefer an anarchist society, but you would never be the one to lead the revolution of it.
Not if it was violent.
Yeah.
I
feel that you've made the claim that it would, and I feel I have this opinion that I think it would have to be at this point.
Well, okay. What I've said or tried to say anyway is this, that seems, if it were going to happen at all, that seems most likely. Now I can see a path. It's not that way. It's gradual. Nobody has to suffer. It's going to take a long time. But I do think that's possible, but not the most probable way. Mm. I'm not looking forward to what the most probable way would be, because I think, like you said, I think it's going to take a lot of pain and suffering that it, yeah, to me is needless, but I think that would have to happen. And I don't want that to happen. And as you just said, I wouldn't be standing at the front saying, all right, well, let's make this happen. I still hold out hope for the slower, less painful way. I don't like that it's slower, but I'd rather it take 50 years or 100 years even to get here than for anyone to have to suffer for it. But of course there are other options too, like the wholesale annihilation of the human race. That's still out there.
I'm banking on that.
Yeah, one. That one's still out there.
We're over time.
All right, sorry.
So we'll have to talk about how much you love big government another time. I think we're going to call this episode Big Government just because right now in the political and internet climate, I feel like that's going to do wonders for us. So there you go. Write into it, people. The hat. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Please write us some stuff or else we don't have a show. I know it looks like we have a show except for like 10 minutes, but we really don't have a show. also, like us on Facebook because that strokes my ego. Also, go to the blog, TheMagicalTalkingHat.com, and talk with people about things and stuff because people do talk there about things and stuff. So, do that. And remember, all the other podcasts are...
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.